This is Clusterfucked. Here's your host, Roger King.
Welcome to the Clusterfuck Podcast. I'm Roger King. Today's episode is going to be a familiar theme to you longtime listeners. I beat the drum constantly that the Democrats must compete in all 50 states, in every district, particularly the red ones. It's not that in all cases they're going to win simply by competing, but that starts the process. Fielding candidates, building a deep bench of supporters and volunteers, extending the Democratic brand to places that, you know, quite frankly, have not heard from Democrats in a long while. We've heard reports from red districts in certain parts of America where they say a Democrat has not asked for their vote in years, sometimes decades. So there's a new organization called No Democrat Left Behind. They are a one-of-a-kind grassroots organization dedicated to running Democrats, specifically in deep red districts, which warms my heart, and eventually, hopefully, getting them elected to Congress. So I'm pleased to welcome the executive director of No Democrat Left Behind, Hassan Martini. Welcome to Clusterfucked, good sir.
Hey, well, thank you for having me. The intro was spot on in terms of that's our goal. That's our mission. Exactly what you just said is what we strive to do.
Cool.
Every day.
Well, how did, let's talk about the formation of the organization. What's your background and how you came to be involved?
Yeah, that's a great question. Political strategist. And after something that happens from time to time in my line of work is we get jaded. It happens. It's the same thing over and over again. And last year, around this time, a little bit before in the beginning of the summer, I was looking on for my next project, my next client, my next candidate, whatever you want to call it. And I came across, you know, various Democrats that are running in districts that really nobody's talked to, they've been ignored. And what I found was there were a lot of these candidates all across the country that had the same story. These people have passion like you wouldn't believe. They have the desire. They have the knowledge. They have the skill set. They have everything without any support.
Right.
So what we did is we thought, okay, so how can we help? How can we do this? And the idea, you know, we started brainstorming and things like that. And then what ended up happening is we said, okay, if I'm a rural Democrat running in West Virginia and I'm reaching out to a wealthy donor in New York City and saying, hey, I'm running in the middle of nowhere. Can I count on your support? Mm-hmm. It's a tough sell. It really, really is. But if we bring everybody together and say, hey, we're a coalition of Democrats that are running in deep red, mostly rural districts. Our candidates, staff, and volunteers are reaching out to folks that haven't heard from the party in a very long time. And guess what? It's working. We're registering voters in record numbers and engaging with disenfranchised communities along the way. It's a different conversation. It's a different mindset. And people have really been gravitating towards that. So what we did was at the summer of 2019, we started researching in terms of which campaigns we could get involved with. And we interviewed at the time, I'd say about 86 candidates. From there, we narrowed that list down to about eight that we launched with that we felt, okay, these are the candidates that we believe in wholeheartedly. We tried to avoid primaries, although that was inevitable.
Right.
And I will say that right now we have 11. Every week we're getting anywhere between 4 to 5 candidates a week that want to join the coalition. Mm. They're looking for support, right?
Right.
And of our original 8 candidates, 7 actually won their primaries. So we did a good job choosing.
Hey, nice.
Honestly, No Dem Left Behind is a direct result of the candidates themselves and the work that they're doing. A lot of people don't realize this. In some situations, these people are risking their lives. We've had candidates that have received death threats. We've had candidates that have been to campaign events that have turned into KKK rallies in rural Tennessee. So you can't make this stuff up. People don't realize how tough it is out there for rural Democrats. And we're just doing our part to kind of get the word out.
Well, before we get into specific candidates, and it sounds like there's some interesting stories behind them, the ones you're working with, let's talk about just the overall strategy. Is there... like an overview or a way to describe the philosophy you're pushing with all these candidates in terms of the approach they should take in these deep red districts to try to be competitive?
Yeah. So again, everything changed this year, right? Whatever we had planned, you could throw it out the window. Complete strategy, you know, overhaul.
Yeah, I heard there was a pandemic or something. Yeah.
From a messaging perspective, look, you can knock on a door. They could have the biggest Trump sign in the front yard, and that's great. But you ask them this question: hey, do you think Amazon and Apple should be paying taxes? And there's a pause. Of course they should be paying taxes. Everybody thinks that these guys should be taking, well, you know that under our current tax system, they're not paying any federal taxes. And then people are like, I'm like, no, not yeah. We can change that. These corporations need to be paying their fair share in taxes, just like you and I. Mm-hmm. And that's a message that really was resonating very strongly early on. And again, then the pandemic happens. No more knocking on doors. No more, you know, life is changed completely. So that now we're adjusting. It's like, listen, you're seeing what's out there, and you're seeing the exploitation of the American worker. You're seeing what's happening in DC in terms of the whole drain the swamp. The swamp has never been more polluted than it ever has been before. But the candidates that we're running veterans, we're running community leaders, we're running mothers, we're running small business owners, we're running your neighbors, people that you know, people that you see doing their work in day in, day out. And it really starts with the candidates themselves. And again, they could have the biggest Trump sign that they want, but ask yourself, is this the country that you want to live in?
Right. Well, and I've had a couple of guests on the podcast previously who also run grassroots organizations supporting, you know, key candidates in places that are not blue. And I always ask this question. It's sort of a version of what I was getting at, with, you know, previously is, are there key issues in your view that can win over voters in some of these red places? Because, you know, we have to concede, as much as our progressive friends might not want to admit it, you have to win some Republican votes. These are places where there are way more registered Republicans a lot of the time than Democrats. And so they're naturally a little bit skeptical of Democrats. And as I said off the top, some of them haven't heard from a Democrat in a long time. What issues, just in general, do you think can get them interested and eventually maybe win votes from these Republicans?
So a lot of the candidates, part of our coalition, they really focus on healthcare. Healthcare is a huge one in a lot of these different districts, especially when it comes to veterans and veterans affairs and how mistreated they've been by the VA for a very long time. But I really encourage everybody to promote infrastructure as much as possible. The main reason is, hey, rural America doesn't have broadband access.
Right.
You know, my sister lives in rural America. For her to get internet set up took 2-3 months. Mm. Meanwhile, you know, those of us that live in big cities, we don't have those problems. So infrastructure and healthcare are two things that really, you know, that we could talk to people on an individual basis, one-on-one, just take out all the Washington crap and just talk to neighbor to neighbor. And those are two that we find that are, you know, they really resonate with folks.
Right. And I guess, you know, the idea is, you know, the old saying, of course, all politics is local, but you're probably not trying to run it as a national campaign kind of thing. Does Trump come up much, or are you really drilling down on the issues that will be key to that district or that red state?
Yeah, so Trump comes up with a lot of the national stuff because of the national messaging and also from a fundraising perspective. We found that people are donating for one of two reasons. One, they're energized, they're highly motivated, they're rah, rah, rah. And then there's the other part where people are donating because they're angry. And that's why a lot of times people that are running against some like nationwide public Republican figures, the opponents get, you know, they do quite well when it comes to fundraising.
Right, like the opponent to Mitch McConnell or Lindsey Graham, that kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a two-step process. On the national side, yes, in order for us to do the work that we're doing, we need to be able to fundraise for our candidates. So from that perspective, yes, Trump comes up a lot, you know, social media and messaging and things like that. On the local side, as much as you want to avoid it, you can't. We're in the most, you know, this is, you know, you're in a presidential election. Everything ends and begins with the top of the ticket. And what we found is we're trying to talk less about Trump and talk more about Biden. You know, the DNC did a good job with their with the convention of really making us, you know, relate to Joe Biden, really show the compassion that he has. He, you know, you could say what you want about the vice president. He is genuine. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we, you know, we're trying to play towards a little bit. So it's on a local side, what I'm encouraging the candidates to do is talk less about Trump and more about Joe Biden.
Right. And because some of these, you know, maybe waffling Trump supporters might be open to that message because, you know, they know Biden at least, or who he is, you know, the name ID is there, and he's a Democrat, but not a scary one too, you know, which is one of the reasons why he was an appealing candidate, and probably why one of the reasons he won the nomination was because down ballot, he helps in certain places. Did you guys zone in on any particular states when you were, I mean, I imagine when you were evaluating these candidates, it was about the candidate more than anything, but were there particular states that you were keying in on? I always talk on this podcast about some of the smaller red states where it doesn't take a lot of votes to change the results of an election. We sometimes look at the percentage numbers and you see, oh, some candidate won in Idaho or Montana 60-35% or something, and you think, oh, wow, that's a huge gap to overcome. But when you look at the numbers of voters, it ends up being not that much in some of these smaller places. Yeah. Was that a consideration? How did you approach that strategically about which states you were going to concentrate on?
Yeah, so our largest delegation is Florida. We have three candidates running in Florida. Obviously, Florida is a swing state. Florida is a state that we want to win badly. The states that we're currently in right now, we have Florida, West Virginia, Missouri, Louisiana, Tennessee. We are in, we were in Utah, but that was the one candidate that actually lost her primary. Mm. Maryland, quick sidetrack, Maryland, Mia Mason is running in Maryland's first district. Mia is a transgender veteran, and she's actually the first transgender party nominee, either party, obviously, for the United States Congress. Mm. That should be a story. That should be something that people are talking about. This is somebody that served five tours protecting her nation. And, you know, it's one of those things that it really is, it can make a lot of headway, can make a lot of noise if people would just focus and say, you know what, this person has a chance. She's running against Andy Harris, who's been endorsed by Trump, who's one of, you know, in God knows how many Trump campaign events and things like that. The candidates are there. The stories are there. Now, it's just our job about getting it out there and getting the messaging and really helping amplify the work that they're doing.
I guess it'd be a good story contrasting her to Trump and his views of the military and everything. So there's some traction probably to get there. And I guess if she's running in Maryland, it is just as much about the candidate for you guys, which is great because you want to get behind candidates who have compelling messages, as you said, and compelling stories.
Yeah.
We should clarify, all these candidates are running for the House. These are not state races. These are national. These are, you know.
Yeah, they're all running for the United States House.
Right. Okay, great. You mentioned fundraising. Just before we get into the candidates, because, of course, I want to hear a few names from you, but you mentioned fundraising. Is fundraising at this stage a big part of what you guys are doing, or is it more about grassroots volunteer activity? I mean, obviously, candidates always have to fundraise in any race, but I mean the organization specifically, where are you putting your emphasis in terms of energy and time and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I'd say 50% fundraising. And then what we try to do is we've brought on some kind of nationwide, you know, very popular individuals to host No Dem Left Behind virtual town halls. Mm. And what this does is it gives the opportunity for the candidates on the ground to kind of reach out to their communities and say, hey, Andrew Yang is talking to us, you know, who Andrew just did our last town hall.
I saw that.
So those are the, Yeah, those are the types of things that are really resonating and really helping, giving a morale boost not only to the candidates, to their staff, the volunteers, but also the people themselves that live in those districts and those communities. And we've been very fortunate with the people that have been, you know, that have been supportive of us from day one. John Cooper from the Democratic Coalition, Scott Dworkin, did one of our town halls. Alyssa Milano did our first one. Chelsea Handler, Sarah Cooper.
Yeah, I saw Chelsea, and you mentioned Andrew Yang and Sarah Cooper of Trump video fame, How to Trump. Yeah, some nice names there. And you're doing them with four or five candidates, as I saw. So it's sort of under the umbrella. Again, you're pitching these candidates, but also the organization as a whole, as you said off the top. It's all about banding together.
Well, what we do is we try to give each candidate some opportunity to get some screen time with these folks. So it's four at a time, but it's four. We'll do like an hour and a half, and we'll just go in and out with four different candidates at a time.
That's great. So tell us about a couple of specific candidates No Democrat Left Behind is working with this cycle. Who are they? Where are they? I mean, you gave us a little taste before. Just give us an overview and who we might watch for on Election Day in November.
Yeah. So we do it. So of our candidates, we've tried our best to really seek out veterans. Veterans do very well in rural America, but B, they've earned it. They've earned the right to run for office. They've earned the right to get the support that they need. And we're blessed that they're choosing to run as Democrats. So we have Tom Pavlich. Tom, I apologize if I mispronounced your name. He's running in Wisconsin. Tom is a candidate that, you know, he's a repeat candidate, and Tom is somebody that should already be in the House of Representatives. The reason why he's not, Wisconsin is one of those states that's heavily gerrymandered. Mm-hmm. And they've done, you know, the Republicans there have done a good job of keeping us out of office with the way they've carved up, you know, the suburbs around Milwaukee and things like that. But Tom is one of our veterans. Another veteran that we're supporting is Devin Pandy, who's running in rural Georgia. That's a tough race, but Devin is one of those people that, again, served. And he ran, he decided to run for office right around the time where the impeachment hearings were taking place. And his congressman was one of Trump's, you know, biggest supporters and whatnot. And Devin was, you know, like everybody else, he was just angry. He was angry that what was going on. And he's, you know, this is somebody, Representative Collins, that hasn't been, you know, that nobody has challenged him in a very long time. Well, Devin decided to change that. You know, he's turned his life dedicated 100% to running for the House. Mia Mason, obviously, is another one of our veterans that is running. Lindsay Simmons is not a veteran. She's a Harvard educated attorney. Her husband actually is currently deployed overseas. Mm. Lindsay, again, is a candidate that's, you know, not only as smart as can be, but also just like a genuine person who really is trying to help her community. She's outraged. Right now, she's been going on a rampage on social media about what's going on with the bounties. And, you know, this is someone whose husband, his life is on the line.
Right.
Meanwhile, Trump's looking the other way. So when we say it hits close to home, it definitely hits close to home with our candidates.
Where is she? Lindsay's in which?
Missouri.
Missouri. Okay.
Missouri. Yeah. Missouri. And now let's talk about the Florida delegation. So we have Alan Ellison, who's a small business owner, a repeat candidate, African American, who's doing one hell of a job in terms of organizing a campaign people haven't seen in quite some time. We have Dr. Cindy Bonnier, who's running in Southwest Florida. Cindy is somebody who's ran more nonprofit organizations than I can count. Somebody that, you know, when we see these government reports and nobody knows what to do with them and things like that, they get thrown. Well, Cindy's the one that wrote these reports. Mm. So how about we get somebody like that in office?
Right.
And then we have Adam Christensen, also in Florida, who's the youngest candidate right now. He's 26 years old. He's tapped into a base of volunteers that's really impressive. People say young people have no place in politics, this and that. Go down to Florida and look at the volunteers that Adam has been able to get, and they'll change your mind. Mm. He's doing a hell of a job down there. And let's move north a little bit to West Virginia, where we have Natalie Klein. Natalie is running in West Virginia's first. And one thing about the numbers, since we're in a business of numbers. So Natalie, for her primary, the Democrats were able to receive a little over 51,000 votes, while the Republicans got 53,000 and some change. That's in rural West Virginia, right?
To have equal turnout there, yeah.
We could do that in West Virginia. We could do that everywhere, all across the country. And Natalie's proving it. And of the 51, I think she received over 78% of the vote.
Right.
So this is somebody that, you know, again, she is a STEM professional, and she's running because her congressman, McKinney, has been ignoring his district, has been ignoring the state. These are not people that are running for office because they want the glitz and glamour of being in the United States House of Representatives. These are people that are running for office because they feel abandoned by the current occupants of those seats.
Right. Yeah. And they're like, I'm going to do something about it. It's that spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob Anderson in Louisiana. Rob is one of those people's social media icon. People love him. Very genuine. He's, you know, he's a driller. That's his background. Mm.
Yeah.
And he's running for the House in Louisiana against Clay Higgins, who's been on the news because he threatened to kill protesters and not lose any sleep over it.
I remember hearing about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
A nice opening there to for your candidate.
Yeah.
Well, and he's a working class guy, it sounds like, and you know, is genuine.
Yeah. Yeah. And our national spokesperson, Richard Ojeda. Richard is a nationwide figure. Ran for Congress in 2018. Before that, he was a state. You know, he served 24 years in active combat duty. And when he was running for the West Virginia State Senate, he was attacked and almost killed. Mm. And he won his seat in rural West Virginia from the ICU. He was unconscious.
Who attacked him, and what was the supposed motivation? So
actually, there was a recent lawsuit settlement where it was $400,000 that was awarded to Richard. Of course, the person that attacked him, you know, they transferred their funds. For legal purposes, I can't go into, you know, what was the cause behind that or whatnot. But what he was doing is he was speaking up on issues that people did not like. Mm. And anyone who ever listens to Richard, he doesn't care. He's going to speak his mind.
Yeah.
So they attacked the VA in West Virginia. They released his medical records. Unfortunately, then it was lost, and that turned into a whole thing. But essentially, Richard is somebody that literally his life is, you know, put on the line for running as a Democrat in rural America. So he's the perfect spokesperson for the work that we're doing.
And he, if I'm not mistaken, did he not run for Senate a few years ago? Came up a little short, but was very, very competitive in West Virginia, and, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So in 2018, he ran for the House, and he raised $3 million in rural West Virginia because again, people gravitated towards him. 2020, he ran for the Senate. Paula Jean ended up getting that nomination, and he's 100% supporting Paula. And Paula's actually been a huge advocate for No Dem Left Behind, and obviously we support her as well. Richard's just one of those people that, if you need anything at all, he literally will take the shirt off his back.
Yeah, yeah. No, he got a lot of national attention, I remember, in that race. I think it was the House. Sorry, I got it mixed up with the Senate. You know, as you said earlier, we're not in normal times, so we don't have the rallies and other things, other door-to-door grassroots stuff that we're all used to in an election season, which is too bad, because it would be interesting to see if some national figures might join some of these candidates you've mentioned, you know, as in the home stretch. But it's hard to see, you know, where campaigning is going. You know, what's going to happen. And, you know, we're just seeing Biden and Kamala Harris kind of get out there now, always, you know, worried more about public safety than anything else through this campaign. Lastly, how does a candidate get on your radar? Obviously, probably too late for this cycle, but we'll have the midterms coming up in 2022 and all that. And how do people, if someone wants to run, how do they get on your radar? What's your process in terms of whether you're going to get involved or endorse someone or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I wouldn't say it's too late for this cycle. We still have 2 months. Mm. You know, we're out. It is definitely not too late. So nodemleftbehind.com, there's a section on that on the website for candidates to fill out some information. And really what we're looking for from a campaign, while most nationwide organizations, they're focused on the numbers and things like that. And listen, numbers are important. But what we want to do is we want to focus on, so we're limited in terms of how much we can help. So it would make my life a lot easier if I can say that I'm going to support this candidate that's running in Idaho for Congress. If they're supporting, their county sheriff, their school board, their state legislative, some judges. So if they're doing work and they've put together their own, coalition within their districts. And so that way, when we say, okay, we're going to support this, but, by default, we're going to be supporting 8 other people as well. That's something that really, that really sparks my attention.
Right.
And Richard as well. And then other things we're looking for, candidates that are, we look for passion. We really do. I do apologize. I miss Blair Walsingham, who's running in rural Tennessee. This is someone that just exuberates passion when she speaks about the work that she's doing. And because of that, that's somebody that we're going to support and get involved. And then one other candidate that I don't want to miss anybody. Gary is running in Pennsylvania. Gary's a 5th generation farmer and happens to be a dentist on the side.
The old farmer dentist combo, a classic.
There we go. So somebody that understands farming, somebody that understands healthcare, somebody that that district is a toss up. We can win that kind of that district in Pennsylvania.
The key is these people are from the community, credible people, professionals, or sometimes, just your everyday workers who a lot of voters presumably will respond to and recognize as from there and authentic. And
exactly. Yeah. When it comes to diversity, obviously ethnic diversity is very important that we focus on. But also, I like the whole professional diversity that we've kind of brought to No Dem Left Behind.
Right.
We have drillers, dentists, lawyers, farmers, STEM professionals, a former boxer in the mix. The House of Representatives needs to be a representation of America, and that's not the way that it currently is, but that's what No Dem Left Behind is, and that's what we're trying to bring to D.C.
Perfect. Yeah, diversity comes in many different looks and different ways. Yeah. Hassan, I really appreciate you taking the time to join me today. Obviously, No Democrat Left Behind is a long-term play. I said off the top, it's about laying the foundation for Democrats to be competitive in some of these places where they haven't been. And I'm looking forward to seeing how the organization grows and seeing some candidate victories, not just this November, but in subsequent elections. So we'll watch for the Florida delegation, and we'll look at West Virginia on election night and some of these other states and see what's going on. But thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you for the work you're doing as well.
Thank you. So that was Hassan Martini from No Democrat Left Behind. Again, their website, I think he mentioned it, but it's nodemleftbehind.com. Check them out. Check out some of their candidates. Give them a few bucks if you have it. That's nodemleftbehind.com. And they're on Twitter at NDLB2020, obviously standing for No Democrat Left Behind, at NDLB2020. And speaking of Twitter, I'm there too. Why not follow me as well? I'm the Civil Liberal, but the handle is at CF the Podcast. For further episodes of this fine podcast, visit cfthepodcast.com. All the episodes are there, more information about the podcast, and a little spot where you can support us if you're feeling so inclined. I know it's election season and everybody's giving their money to various candidates and causes, but if you have a few bucks left over and you do appreciate what we do here, always appreciate the support. We do have some expenses. We're recording at dbaudio.ca. What a fine studio. Always love being here. And we've got web hosting and audio hosting and other costs. A few bills come in. So if you go to cfthepodcast.com, click support the podcast, and we appreciate it. There's a mailing list, too, you can join. It's a good way to keep in touch. We let you know every time there's a new episode or anything else that's going on in the CF community. That's cfthepodcast.com. This podcast is available on iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher and Spotify and all your favorite podcatchers. But we do enjoy it when you visit us at cfthepodcast.com. And we're on Facebook as well. Just do a search for CF the Podcast. You can like the page there. We're counting down to election season. Lots of good guests and episodes coming up. We'll have some election previews and all that sort of thing. Really appreciate you taking the time to listen.
The Clusterfuck Podcast. A liberal host with red state guests.
This is Roger King. That'll be all.